Was
So
a motion made?
Since it's just the two of you, you would need to approve it, and then Yvette.
Yeah.
Okay, I approve, Carmina.
Okay, and I second it. We'll move on to the meeting minutes from November 9th, 2021. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes?
I approve. I reviewed. I didn't have any questions.
I second it. Okay. So next we'll move on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Andrea, do we have any public comments at this time?
We do not. There are quite a few members of the public with us, but we do not have any comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. So I'll move on to V, old business. Number one, clear impact platform and results-based accountability update. The information is on pages 7 to 9. Is there any, is somebody going to talk about the clear impact, or is it just information in the packet?
Renata, you want me to?
Yes, please.
Okay. So as we've been telling you all along, we have a contract with Clear Impact, which we'll be providing once we get our performance measures down. Where we'll be able to incorporate them into a dashboard and then also a scorecard. What you have in front of you is a draft of performance measures that staff worked on and went over with Conrado. Just like to preface that these are our strategic plan strategies are rather broad. So these performance measures are currently broad as well. And we were looking at starting the performance measures after the implementation of the strategic plan in order to avoid researching baseline data. And because our strategies in the strategic plan are broad, baseline data would be extremely difficult to acquire. So hence, that's why we have these performance measures that reference numbers of primary care providers, numbers of specialty care, and so forth and so on. So I want to, I'd like to give some shout out, especially to Megan, because she really started this and did a lot of research in putting this together. And then Jana and I and Conrado worked on prettying them up or confirming them up or eliminating some or adding some to other ones. So they're here for your information, and we're going to go forward with these for our strategic plan so we can start implementing the strategic plan. Do we have any questions, or Conrado or Megan want to add anything?
I think what I would like to add is that having these performance measures is going to allow us to evaluate the effectiveness of our strategic plan and also to evaluate the effectiveness of the programs that we will be investing our public dollars in our community. So the organizations that will be recipients of grants from the district will be responsible for providing this information. We will evaluate their proposals and their performance based on these metrics. And of course, each organization, each grant is going to be different because some will be addressing the shortage of healthcare providers, other will be addressing the expanding hours of operations, other will be focused on primary care, others on behavioral health, and so forth and so on.
Okay, thank you very much. Carmina, do you have any questions about this information that was provided?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you both for your for the information. And we'll move on to funding request updates. So this is also located on pages 10 to 13, and it's just information, right? I mean, it's just information on the grants. Are there any in particular that you would like to highlight? or talk about, Donna?
Actually, Desert Cancer Foundation, that grant application is before you tonight. Staff and Conrado, we did have some good proposal conferences with UCR School of Medicine, as well as Vision to Learn. We have generated stage two, the application, so you should be seeing those two come forward in January, Program Committee. And then we have a an LOI review with Cal State tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Carmina, do you have any questions about the information provided?
No, I don't, thank you.
Okay, so we'll be moving on to grant payment schedule, which is located on page 14 of the packet. Does anyone have any questions about that or? Carmina, do you have any questions about the grant payment schedule?
No, I don't.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to number four, which is on pages 15 to 18, the grant number 1171, Blood Bank of Riverside and San Bernardino County, also known as Livestream, consideration to forward to the Board of Directors and approval of a modification to the approved grant budget of $150,000. By transferring $30,000 from the line item budget category COVID antibodies test kits to line item budget category one blood mobile. This is line item transfer will support the cost of district funded blood mobile. Will somebody be discussing this or giving us a little information?
This is more just a process, according to the approved grant contract, anything over 10% must go back to the board if there's any budget modifications, that's over 10% of the approved grant amount must go to the board just for approval. So you can see from the staff report and from Livestream's requested letter that they would like to move $30,000 that they won't be using for COVID antibody test kits to move it to the blood mobile that we had also given some funding towards on a line item. And I believe Dr. Axelrod might be here. I was just going to look at the Dr. Axelrod is the CEO and president of Livestream is on if you have any questions, but I think it's pretty well cut and dry. So
do you have any questions, Carmina?
I don't.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve this grant?
I approve, Carmina.
And I second it. So we'll be moving this grant forward to the board for consideration to approve. We'll move on to program updates, progress and final reports update. The information is on pages 19 to 55. Do you have any questions about this, Carmina, or?
No, I don't.
No. Is there anything that you guys would like us to know or anything that you would like to highlight on the information that you guys provided to us?
I would like to mention that on the One Future report, you can see all the thank yous that the scholarship recipients wrote, but I don't think we'll be at this coming board meeting, but maybe in January, One Future is going to ask some of the scholarship recipients to actually join us on the virtual board meeting to publicly and physically thank the board members for their scholarship funding, as well as maybe give a little highlight of where they are in their healthcare career pathway and their goals of coming back to the Coachella Valley to practice when they do graduate. So I'll bring that forward.
Thank you.
Otherwise, I don't have any other additions to the reports.
Okay. So we'll move on to the next one, consideration to forward to the board for approval of grant number 1289 Desert Cancer Foundation, patient assistance program for $150,000, and the information is located on number 56, on pages 56 to 80. And I believe Donna already spoke about this a little bit. Do you have any questions, Carmina, that you might need answered?
No, other than just curious, are we making an action? Are we, it's an action item for today? Is that, just wanted to
yes.
clarify. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so we'll need to either approve it if we want it to go to the board or not. So is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve, Carmina.
Okay, I second it. So it'll move on to the board for final approval. And we'll move on to committee member comments. Are there any member that would like to make a comment at this time? Hearing none, I guess I'll adjourn the meeting at 5:12 p.m.
Ow.
That was a quick one, huh?
Sure was.
So we'll be moving on to the next meeting, to the Desert Healthcare Foundation Program Committee meeting for 5:30, but it's actually 5:13. So I would like to call the meeting to order at 5:13 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Carmina, I approve.
Okay, I second it. We'll move on to the meeting minutes from November 9th foundation meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
Carmina, approve.
I second it. So at this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion or action. Andrea, do we have any public comments at this time?
No public comments.
Okay. Hearing no public comments, we'll be moving on to old business. Number one, pages 7 to 8, the grant payment schedules. And I believe the information is in the packet. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions regarding this information, Carmina?
No, I don't.
Okay, so then we'll move on to, I guess, the Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative, part A, vaccination, education, and outreach. Is there any new information to be provided at this time?
Just a quick update. We had a really successful launch of a children's vaccine event where we had some superheroes that were created by El Sol, utilizing our CARES Act and ELC dollars that we received from the county. We were also, now we're working with the youth committee to ensure that we are making the clinics a little bit softer, for lack of a better word, for the children, so they don't feel like so they don't feel that it's such an intimidating place when they show up. So we try to make it fun. We are providing goodie bags, you know, with coloring books, face masks, and also some other really fun knickknacks for the children. So we've done 2 events so far where we've distributed them, and they have been really well received by the children and the parents, because as the children are waiting in line to get vaccinated, they're able to color and do some of the activities that are within those coloring books. And then obviously it keeps them entertained and obviously out of the parents' hair. So that's a win-win situation all around. So, so far so good with those events. Tomorrow we are having a press conference at CVUSD. In partnership with the school district, RUHS Public Health, I believe we're going to have our CEO, Conrado Barzaga, speak, Kim Sarawatari from the county, and also CVUSD Superintendent, Dr. Luis Valentino, and also CVUSD Trustee President, Joey Acuna. So that would be at 11 o'clock tomorrow at CVUSD offices.
Okay. Thank you, Alejandro, mm-hmm. for the update and for the great work. I'm happy that at least the children are being able to see something different than what they're seeing on TV, you know, something that makes, like, eases their nerves, right, when getting the vaccination. So that helps out a lot. Thank you very much for all your hard work. Carmina, do you have anything to say, or do you have any questions at this time?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. So having no questions, we'll move on to advancing the district's role. Oh.
I would like to add something, okay. Director Perez-Gil. On December 15, we're planning to have a live broadcast with an expert panel. We're recruiting doctors from different healthcare organizations. And the idea is to have live questions from the public here in the Coachella Valley. And we will be broadcasting through Telemundo at 5 p.m. and through KESQ at 6, I believe it's at 6 or 6:30. I can't recall exactly, but it will be a live broadcast of 30 minutes. It's going to be a special program for our local news channels. And we'll give the public access to medical experts and ask questions about COVID.
Okay. Thank you very much, because I feel like that is also needed in the community for, with all the information that's coming out, there's a lot of people that have questions and are not too sure about the vaccines and everything. So that will help us inform our community. Thank you. And with that being said, I'll move on to advancing the district's role in addressing the healthcare needs of Black communities in the Coachella Valley. Is there an update on the one? Well, I know we just spoke about the One Future Coachella Valley Scholarship Fund in the other meeting, where Donna addressed that they'll be coming to our next meeting and letting us know about their scholarships and how they're doing in school. Is there any other update besides that, Donna?
Well, that was for the scholarship recipients over from the behavioral health career pathways, that from the three-year grant part of the final report. This one is, we had a meeting of the Black and African American Healthcare Scholars Advisory Committee last Thursday, and just as a little update, they've cleared five of the scholars to start receiving their scholarship funds, and they also have four other students that have a potential that they're interviewing. There's still a concern that all the recipient scholarship applicants are all girls, no boys. So, you know, there's strategies that are being discussed on how to include getting young men of color into the scholarship program. And one of the things was looking at through the sports world, sports medicine. This Palm Springs High School has a sports medicine pathway, career pathway. So they're going to be reaching out to that pathway as well. Jan and Megan were on the call on the Zoom. I don't know, Jan, if there's anything you wanted to add that I missed. You wanted to add?
Oh, I think that just the continued focus in this area is, critical. And it's nice to have actual scholars that will benefit from this funding.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments or ideas to bring back to the advisory committee?
Armina, do you have any?
No, I don't.
Okay, so no. We'll move on to part B, access to healthcare, Borrego Health Foundation. Is there any new information on how this process is going?
Yes, Megan attended the last community meeting that they have. They have one every Friday at 2:00. They meet with the wellness committee. This is Borrego and the wellness committee. And if it's okay with Megan, I'll just kind of read a little bit from her written report that she reported out from the agenda, that she said that more people were coming in for vaccines and boosters and not a whole lot for, you know, being sick, just preventative. And that Borrego was educating them on the telehealth that's being offered, the emergency guidance on reimbursement. So they're going to follow up with more information on that. There was a question asked of the how many of the 60 that are signed up in that are uninsured are insured. So they're going to follow up with that information as much as well as what percentage of the visits were COVID vaccination or testing related. So we're going to follow up with that information as well. Borrego has a new mobile unit that is going to be released to Borrego by the end of the year. It's a HRSA funded unit. And James O'Jesse Center should see the new unit starting to be there in January. And on the community health worker front, that UCR recommended a newly graduate person who worked with Feeding America Outreach and has a bachelor's in public health. So now moved to the Coachella Valley, and Borrego's extended a full-time offer. They haven't had much luck for two part-time positions, so they should hear by the end of the day, which was at last Friday, if they got a response or not. So we'll find out next Friday.
Okay.
And that was it. I don't know, Conrado, if there's anything you wanted to add about the community and the other thing. Okay.
Carmina, do you have any questions for Donna?
I don't, other than it's great to hear that we're reinvesting in our community and someone's coming back to serve with Borrego in public health. So that's wonderful to hear. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Megan, for a good report.
Yes, thank you, Megan, too.
Thank you, ladies, for the report. And I'm very happy that at least something is getting done, right? Like something, we're moving forward in the right direction, even if it's just COVID right now and booster, but at least it's starting in some way. So I'm happy about that. We'll move on to number four for behavioral health initiative update. Is there any new information on this, Jen?
Good evening, everyone. The behavioral health initiative is continuing to make progress. Our working group meetings are convening on track, and we're at the point now where each of the working groups is going to focus on kind of narrowing the scope of work for each of them so that we can now identify specific strategy improvements that will then be forwarded to the steering committee for review and consideration. I think it's important to note that a secondary gain to this working group structure is it's allowing our community stakeholders to get to know other stakeholders and then formulate some linkages that are going to be highly beneficial even beyond our behavioral health initiative timeline, which will greatly benefit our community members. So it's just going well, and there's just a lot of dedicated time being committed to this process.
Thank you very much.
I would like to add something. One of the things that we're doing as part of this work related to behavioral health, and in light of the events that happened last week, when a student killed four of his classmates, we're reaching out to the local superintendents of school, and we want to have a conversation with them to talk about access to behavioral health programs, what's in place, and how there can be protocols to increase access to behavioral health, and also to identify warning signs and prevent events of that nature. that are so sad and catastrophic for any community to go through that. And I think something that triggered our intention to have this conversation and have an angle of behavioral health is that when we look at the news coverage of the event, and this was in, was it Wisconsin? What was it?
It was Michigan.
In Michigan. You know, they were talking about how the school had protocols in place for the kids to know what to do in the case of a mass shooting, that they knew how to look for cover, they knew how to hide, where to hide. And it was successful because only four kids died. So we're measuring success by the lesser number of fatalities when we should be looking at how to have successful programs to identify warning signs, because there were many in this case, as it has been in many other cases, and those, and they didn't have a protocol in place to do something when they identify those warning signs. So we want to have a conversation with our local superintendents, find out what's in place, what's not, and work with them to see if there is any support that we can provide to our school systems to have better access to preventive care.
Well, I like that idea that you're actually meeting with the superintendents, because they do need a lot of, I think a lot more things in place, right, to prevent these things from happening. I've gone through their behavioral health process that they have, and it's not, I don't think that what they have right now for the students is very acceptable to them. You know, they only get 30 minutes once a week with the psychologist, and most of the time it's just spent talking about what they're feeling. So it would be nice if we could find another way, like to go more in-depth conversations with them. So I'm really excited about this partnership, and hopefully it'll bring something good to our community. Thank you, Conrado.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions about the information provided? Carmina, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you. Actually, I do. I have a question for Jana. Question for you, Jana. Do we have a schedule of the behavioral meetings that you're having?
Yes, they're scheduled each month. I can send that.
Okay, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And Conrado, did you also want to mention about Regional Access Projects RFP?
Yes. So I think, Donna, you might have more details sure. about that.
Okay. As you know, Regional Access Project Foundation, their emphasis is mental health. They call it mental health. We call it behavior health. And last year, they had issued an RFP, and it was for $150,000. And we had brought a concept to program committee and then subsequently to the board about matching it, so there'd be a larger pot of funding available to the nonprofit grantees that would respond to the RFP and have more of a success with their, they have their performance measures already set up as well. So their RFP is coming out again for this year, will be released in January. And Conrado had mentioned that we'd be pass the concept through. It would be interesting too if we would be willing, if the board would be willing again to match, again to make the funding availability a little bit larger than what they have this year. They've increased it to 300,000. So if we were to match it, if we were to match 300,000, it would be 600,000. They have performance measures set up. And in the past, when we did have them, I was part of the scoring committee, the interview committee with the organizations that they had chosen. And they picked some good ones. It's still going on because it was a year. It started in February, I believe, February, March. So we still have a year to go to complete it for the final reports. But if that was something the program committee would still be interested in, we will be, Jana and Megan and I were going to be meeting with Nora, who is their grants person, RAPS grant person, on Thursday to talk to them to make sure to see if our performance measures as well can also match up with what they're working on. So Kamado, was there anything you want to add? I knew you were going to mention something to Letty.
No, Donna, I think that you said it all. I think we need to have a conversation with Nora and hopefully it's something that we can co-brand. The district working together with the RAP Foundation and leveraging and matching, it's a way of maximizing results for the local agencies that do behavioral / mental health work in the Valley.
Okay, thank you. For me, I would like to see the outcome of the meeting that you guys have on with Nora and then see what comes from there. Carmina, do you have any comments or questions about it?
I don't at this time.
Okay. So at this moment, we're moving on to committee member comments. And I have a comment, but I would like to say thank you to everybody. All of you guys have done an exceptional job, hard work during this COVID situation that we've been living. I know sometimes it can be a little hard for all of us, especially with the people that we deal with, but you guys have kept it going and you guys have provided outstanding service to the community, and I'm very proud of you guys. I just wanted to let you guys know that.
Thank you. It's very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Carmina, do you have any comments? Or does anyone else have any comments at this time?
I don't have any comments on that.
Okay, so at this time, we will adjourn the meeting. Our next scheduled meeting, would it be January 7th? Is it a month from now? Or, because on the packet, it says December 7th.
My apologies, the district says January, but January 11th is the next meeting, the foundation.
Okay.
So it is January 11th of 2022.
Okay, so we'll be seeing all of you on next year for the next meeting. And thank you very much for attending.
Okay, great. Thank you, Yvette.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Have a nice night.
Everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.